Just tell you the reference, Proverbs 16:3, and Cody's going to come read the scripture.
Stand to our feet as we read Proverbs 16:3. Proverbs 16:3. I'll read it first, then we'll read it together. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Said it again. Commit thy ways and works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, so much that you've done, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for tonight, Lord. I pray that you'll just bless the preaching, Lord, and bless pastor as he preaches, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, all that you've done. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, sir. You may be seated. Tonight I'm going to, if you saw my notes, I don't even know. Lord willing, we're going to land somewhere here in about 2 hours. No, anyways, I'm kidding. It's all right. It's all right. You can laugh. Loosen up a little bit. It's okay. But Lord willing, we'll land somewhere. That was a late laugh. You just get it figured out? Oh. Okay. She doesn't laugh at the old jokes anymore, but I thank you, church, for being supportive. A couple of you were supportive. All right. I don't even, I'm losing control here. Anyways, but if you saw my notes, we're going to just see where it goes, but I am going to preach on the word, speak on the word commitment tonight. Commitment is a word that most of us would like to open up every dictionary that we own and just cut it out. The world doesn't know exactly what commitment is anymore. Marriages are not committed anymore. Relationships can be broken because of lack of commitment. Church relationships can be broken because of a lack of commitment. Spiritual relationships can be broken with Almighty God because of a lack of commitment, not by losing your salvation. You know, you're saved, nothing can change that, but you know how much more wonderful your Christian life can be if you just commit all the way. Just give God everything you got and be obligated to Him. The word commitment literally means to trust or obligate to be obligated to something. It has kind of the same idea with the word faith, trusting in God. Okay, when you got saved, you place your faith in God, and you place your trust in God, and you believe He's going to take care of you, and so forth. But the truth of the matter is, commitment can kind of go a little bit of a step further, if you will. It literally means, of course, to obligate to it. When God gives you something to do, and He gives us all something to do, He has a plan for every single one of us. The plan for you is not going to be what He has for me, and the plan for me is not going to be what He has for you, but we are obligated to finish that plan. We are obligated to finish that course, if you will, and to finish that race, if you will. Commitment means to trust or to obligate to. When I became a Christian, when I trusted Christ, I became obligated to doing what He wants me to do. There was a change. It was a great, we sing this chorus. There was a great change since I've been born again. There was something different. My desires of the world were not there. The old man's put away. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, a committed Christian will desire to have that, continue in that newness of life. How often we've seen Christians, whenever the battle comes, whenever the trials come, we start losing our commitment. We start losing our faith, if you will. Not your salvation. Don't leave here and misunderstand that, but we kind of lose all hope. Well, God, I don't think He quite understands. I don't think He quite gets it. I don't think He quite figures out what the valley that I'm in. So what do? We kind of resort to the world. We lose that faith. We lose that trust, if you will, in the very one that knows exactly where you are, the very one that knows where you're going. Our desires should not be the desires of the past when we get saved. Our thoughts should be new thoughts. Our will should be His will. Every single one of us tonight, you teenagers and all of us tonight, we ought to be committed to the will of God. We ought to be obligated to that will and not turn back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. It's a nice song, but when you sing it, do you mean it? Do you mean it? You know, it's a beautiful song and it can be touching at times. Yeah, I followed Jesus all the way. But the truth of the matter is, do you really mean it when the tough times come, when the trials do come? And they do. All of us could testify of difficulties. All of us could testify of trials in our life. And if we're not careful, we'll lose our faith, we'll lose our hope, we'll lose our zeal, if you will. We'll lose that commitment that we made to Christ. Maybe it might be a commitment to full-time Christian service, teenager. It might be a commitment to a parent, an adult here tonight. I want to be a better parent. I'm going to commit myself to this, my children. I'm obligated to them. I'm going to be committed to my marriage. We ought to be obligated to our marriage. We'll talk more about that along the way. But everything should be different. Our will should be His will. Our worldly desires should not be, should now be God's desires. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? You know what we need tonight? We need moms and dads. We need a church, a Faith Baptist Church, and we are. And we need teenagers. We need commitment in our homes. We need to go full throttle for Jesus Christ tonight. We need to just decide that, hey, I'm not going to play middle of the road anymore. We just need to decide, you know what? I'm either going to be on full throttle, or I'm not going to be any throttle at all. You know what? And by the way, God talks about the church in Revelation being, don't be lukewarm, either be cold or hot. You know, get in or get out, get on or get off. And you know what? Tonight, we ought to just decide we're going to get on tonight. We're going to get on the bandwagon. We're not going to go ahead and turn our back. We're going to be committed to Christ. We're going to give God all we got. We're going to keep on soul winning. We're going to keep our marriages sure. We're going to keep our marriages strong. We're going to love our spouses as we should. We're going to commit to that ministry. We're going to stick with that ministry. Yes, you know what? You'll be discouraged sometimes when someone doesn't show up to your class. I know. Well, you know, how many did you have today? One. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know what? And there will be times in your Sunday school class, you might get that one. You wonder, oh, man, you know. You know what? Give that one all you got. You know what? You prepared throughout the week for that class. And you prepare just as hard as you would as if thinking you might have 5 or 6 or 7, whatever, a normal number in your class. You prepared. But you know what? If you're not careful, you'll take that, well, I had 1 or 2, and you lose that zeal, and you just kind of go through the motions for that half hour. No, don't do that. Thank God for the ones that showed up. You know what? They're the ones that were hungry for what you prepared for. And thank God for the ones that showed up. You can be committed to that class. You be committed to that youth group. You be committed to that nursery. You be committed to that choir. You be committed to that bus ministry. You just be committed. Hey, you know what? Lord, what do you want me to do? Hey, you know what? Oftentimes we won't ask Him because we're afraid He'll tell us. Well, I'm saved, but boy, if I go any further in the Christian life, boy, the Lord's going to change everything that I used to do. He's supposed to. Amen. You know, the worldly desires ought not be there anymore. You know, the worldly pleasures and stuff like that. You know what? The greatest life is what we're doing right now, the Christian life. This is a lot of fun, believe it or not. This is a lot of fun. You know, you come to church, and I love the fact I have a church home. I'm committed to my church home. You ought to be too. You know, I have a church home. You know, I have a church family. I love a church family. I love a church family where, you know what, when the problems come your way, you know, we're there for each other. That's what Christianity is all about. That's what the church is all about. You know what, and how often there'll be, but there'll always be some, well, I had a problem and no one helped me. Hey, let me just ask you a question. Did you tell us about it? You know, it's okay to bear your burdens with somebody. You know, it's okay, but someone often will get all out of whack and so forth. Well, you know, I had this problem, but nobody helped me out. The truth of the matter is we may not even known about it. You know, but we need commitment tonight. Bible says to commit thy works unto the Lord. Kind of studying this one verse out a little bit, I realized that every deed, every action needs to be committed to God. Everything. Everything you do, you know, you ought to commit your job to the Lord. Every day, you know, ought to be, you know, you put it in the hands of God. Well, the economy's rough. You know, I just don't know. And we'll worry ourselves sick whether we're going to have a pink slip in our little mailbox here at work tomorrow or not. We'll go ahead and worry ourselves sick. You know, if you get up every day and say, God, you know, I know God knows how shaky it can be. You know, and I just say this, you know, and I know that it is difficult, okay? But, you know, let me just say this. The media can go ahead and blow things up way out of proportion than it really is. It can. You know what? Let me just say this. If you want a job, they're there. Now, wait a minute. Well, it's not your kind of job. That's why we get a little grumpy, a little complaining. You know, but the truth of the matter is, if you want a job, they are there. But we get all upset, well, you know, I can't find work, I can't find work, I can't find work, and so forth, simply because it's not the high-paying job that we thought it was going to be. It may be this. It may be, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day. Sometimes you may just have to go flip some burgers. I don't think I can do that. It's a job. I don't have any money coming in. I guarantee you, you get yourself 20, 30 hours a week at McDonald's. Let me just stop and say this very kindly. You get yourself 20, 30 hours a week at McDonald's. You cannot say at all that there's no money coming in because you will get some sort of paycheck if you work. You know, the truth of the matter is, listen to me, commitment. Commit everything you do. Commit your Christian life to the Lord. Commit your marriage. Every action needs to be committed to God. Commitment is an obligation to do what God wants me to do. If we're totally committed to God, the Bible says our thoughts will be established. One who's committed, oh, this is where I wrote some things in here. One who's committed and trusting in God makes good decisions. You know, if you commit everything you do for the Lord, you know what? Because of that, you find yourself in God's will. You know what? He will help and guide you in your decision making. If you go ahead and find yourself where you ought to be. If you're in God's will in everything you do, I'm talking about your marriage, I'm talking about your finances, I'm talking about everything. If you go ahead and you get yourself into the will of God, commit everything that you do, commit thy works unto the Lord, and give God everything that you do every single day. Commit your home. Commit everything to the Lord. Let me tell you something. When it comes time to making some key decisions, you know, He'll help lead and guide you. He'll help you make some right choices. Your thoughts, if you will be established. Your thought processes will be right. You know, it's time for us tonight to fully commit to God and His plan. It's time for us not to go ahead and get lukewarm, if you will. It's time to get hot and on fire for God and fully committed to Him tonight. You say, well, I've been saved. I'm glad that you've been saved. But commitment's a whole other thing, isn't it? You know what? I've been converted. Whoops, I'm upside down here. Someone played with my notes. But anyways, I've lost myself. Lost my place here. But you know what? I've been saved. I've been converted and so forth. But you know what? Commitment's a whole other thing. You know, as I mentioned just a moment ago, we step into this Christian life too far, God's going to go ahead and change everything that I used to do. All my friends, that's good. You know what? It's good to have new friends when you get saved. You know, put your old friends aside. You won't have some of the sin problems and some of the problems that you had in the past. You know, you want to find a good basis for friendship? Come to church. You know, I guarantee you, 99% of the time, I should put it this way, sometimes you got to put a little room for error there, but 99% of the time, God will direct you to the right kind of friendships in the church. You got to be in church. You know what? You want friendship. You don't want to be alone. You know, come to church. Get involved in the church. You know what? Get so busy that you don't have time to be lonely. Amen? You know, there's so much to do. The line is very short when it comes time for the ministry and so forth. There's so much to do. And I would ask you, man, you know, instead of sitting back and having a pity party and so forth, you know, find yourself in church. Get involved in church. Boy, you know, this morning, what a wonderful spirit we had. Amen. What a wonderful spirit we have. And let me tell you something. I fight for the spirit. There's no need of this discord amongst the brethren and so forth. It's not even biblical. Amen. But we got to have a good spirit. But boy, you ought to come and get involved and get excited and find yourself soul winning, and commit yourself to soul winning this year. Commit yourself to some ministry. It may be a nursery. It may be a choir. And by the way, if you're going to be an usher, if you're going to be a choir member, if you're going to be a busboy, whatever the case may be, commit. Don't just say, well, you know, I'll do it if I have time. No. Listen. Help me out and help the whole church out. If you can't do it, just please come to me and say, I can't do this. And we'll find someone who can commit to it during that time frame, can be in their place. You say, well, preacher, that's being me. No, I'm not being me. But you know what? It'll help you. It'll help the whole church out if we would just go ahead and fully commit to whatever God's given us to do. You know, I've always been under the notion of this. You know, even before I was pastoring, if the preacher came to me and asked me, would you be interested in doing this, teaching class, whatever the case may be, you know, the truth of the matter is, first of all, I always felt honored. You know, and something in my mind would go ahead and just start spinning a little bit. And I'd have to slow it down before I got too dizzy. Laugh. Okay. All right. Tough crowd. All right, it's okay. But you know what? It was something in my mind. The preacher came to me and said, and asked me, Sean, would you do this, teach this class, or the bus route, whatever the case may be? You know, first of all, I felt honored. I got thinking, you know, if my preacher thinks that I'm able to do this, then it must be of the Lord. I just believed that. You know, call me naive, whatever the case, but it must be of the Lord. The preacher thinks that I can do this and I'm qualified to teach a class or do whatever, then it must be of the Lord. And I don't misunderstand. I'm not saying the preacher's God, but he's God's man. You know what? And I happen to believe that, you know, if the preachers I had, you know, they found their time. They were walking with God, and they happened to know God better than I did. So there's something to it when they asked me to do something. You know what? And whatever he gave me, you know, and I'd pray about it and so forth and go back and say, yes, I'll go ahead and do it. And I decided, you know what? I'm not going to do it half-hearted. You know, I don't want to do it if I'm going to do it half-hearted. I'm going to give it all I got. I'll give it my best. I'll roll up my sleeves. I'll go to work, whether it be a class, whether it be a bus. I did whatever I could to go ahead and get the job done and do the job well. You know, we got to get back to this idea that whatever it is, whatever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. Do it well. You know, your bus route, you ought to just decide, I'm going to do it well. I'm not going to be just happy with the status quo and just, okay, here we are, you know, okay, I fulfilled my duty on Saturday, fulfilled my duty on Sunday. You know, that's fine. I appreciate the fact, man, you're faithful, you're in your place. But you know what? You shouldn't be happy with status quo. You know, get up. I say this often, but get up with a I get to attitude instead of a I have to. You know what? Brother Joe and brother, all the junior church workers, you know, you got to go downstairs and preach and minister to them kids today. You got to. You bus workers, you know what, this morning, you got to. Yeah, I know it's early. It's cold. You know, old Betsy, and I'm sure, and I know the purple bus, the Barney bus down there, you know, they groaned a little bit. I don't want to start. You ever start, you know, whenever it complains, I just start singing, I love you, you love me, we're a happy. Man, finally got some attention here, some laughter. Amen. But you know what? I got thinking, you know, and I woke up, I'll testify, I woke up a little bit, I was a little groggy this morning. You know, I don't know, the jet lag still bothered me or whatever, and maybe my mind's still on vacation, I don't know, but still a little groggy. And you know what? But I went down, it was chilly, but I went down And as I was walking down, just talking to the Lord a little bit, I said, Lord, you got to just give me that strength and that zap, you know. I hadn't had my coffee yet. That probably was part of it, too. But I just got to have that zap and so forth. I went down, and you know the first thing I thought of when I sat in that bus just to start to get it warmed up, it was 6:45, whatever. I thought, you know, I get to go ahead and go pick up. And I started listing the names of the potential bus kids that were going, that were planning on coming. I get to do this. You know, and then on the way, on my bus route, as I was driving, you know, I was up there, and, you know, probably shouldn't tell my secrets, but, you know, I just want to warn my bus workers. If I'm up there and I'm ever moving my lips, it's not because I'm really conversing with myself. I am talking, but I'm thinking, okay, it's all right. Now they're going to want to commit me, literally. But you know what? I'm thinking of the things that I get to be a part of in the next few hours. I'm thinking of picking up little Haley, Lexi, and Joy, and those that have said that, you know, sometimes they don't always come, but Haley, Lexi, and Joy, and Stephanie, and I was going through all the names, and Gage, and Iana, and Taylor, and Maggie, and Janelle, and Logan, and I was thinking of all the kids that I get to be a part of here in just a little while. I get to be a part of that. And I was thinking, you know, when I get back, I get to go ahead, and I look forward to this Sunday morning. You get a little sea of faces down here, little children and so forth, how excited they are. And I get to go ahead and lose myself a little bit and sing and get excited and be mean to the puppets as I was today, I guess, you know. But it was fun. Amen, Brother Robles. Amen. Okay. But you know, and have a good time with the puppet show and different things. I get to be a part of that. Then, you know, I get to, after a little while, go around and pick up all the rosters and just peek into the Sunday school classes a minute, see what's going on, and I get to be a part of that. Get to come upstairs for just a little while anyways and listen to Brother Robles preach and teach the powerful word of God. I get to be there. And then just within a few moments of that, I get to go ahead and preach to the greatest people in the whole world. It's not Well, I have to do this. Well, Sunday morning, sure enough, I don't show up, preacher's going to get on me. You know what? Every time I got on by the preacher, I always thank God for that. Because it showed that he cared enough about me and he was concerned for me because I wasn't where I should be. You know, commitment. You know, some areas to commit to tonight. Maybe we just need to, again, this might be a little reminder, but I just jotted down a few things. We need to maintain our commitment to God. I know there's so many things today that can kind of get in the way. There's just so much. You know, from media to technology to everything can really get in the way. You know, and you know, it might be tonight, some of us just need to maintain, if you will, our commitment to God. Sometimes you got to press that reset button. You know, you kind of get wavering. Sunday night, Wednesday night, I don't know, you know. Sometimes you just got to come forward and say, okay, God, you know what? I'm recommitting. I'm going to reenlist in the army, if you will. I'm going to be obligated to your will. I'm going to be obligated to my Sunday school class. I'm going to keep on keeping on. You know, I think of, turn to Genesis 37, use a few passages of scripture here. Genesis chapter 37, wonderful story here, and boy, I've had several sermons that I've preached through the years on this man, Joseph. But I just want to read a portion of here. You know, here is a young man that is totally sold out to God. Sold out to his father's will, Jacob, of course, we know the story a little bit, and this is where we first pick up Joseph in this chapter, and he's a 17-year-old boy, and Jacob, Israel, if you will, goes ahead and says, are not your brothers in Shechem? Can you go down and check on them? And of course, we know the story and different things, how Joseph had these dreams, and the brothers didn't like Joseph anyways because he was favored, if you will, by Israel and got the coat of many colors and a lot of jealousy in the household. I can just imagine the friction and the bad spirit there, if you will. And after he dreamed them dreams, the brothers, they had enough. We're leaving, man. Dad, we're going to take the flock, we're going to Shechem, and so forth. And I like this. You know, here we pick up in verse number 13 in just a moment of Genesis 37. Here, God, or a type of God, a type of Christ, if you will, Jacob, Israel, goes ahead and says, ask Joseph, are not your brothers down in Shechem? Yeah. I want you to go down, I want you to check on them. Now, I can imagine at that moment, Joseph, he knew that his brothers hated him. You know what? No doubt that every time they got up around the breakfast, when they were there, getting sitting around the breakfast table or dinner table, you know what? There was some friction there. There was a little dark cloud there. You know, he knew that his brothers, you know, they were bigger than he was. And I'm 17 years old, and now my daddy's asking me to go ahead and go down to Shechem and check on my brothers. He could have almost stepped up and said, now, Dad, can you listen to me a little bit? You know my brothers hate me, right? Well, yeah, you don't get along. I notice you don't get along very well. Now, I'm ad-libbing a little bit, but you know, follow along with me a little bit. But I can imagine, you know, Joseph had good reason to say, come on, couldn't you send one of the other servants or something to go? But you know what? In Genesis 37, 13, he says, Dad, Israel says, I want you to go check on your brothers. You know what he says? Here am I. Verse number 13, and Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. I don't know if there was any, come on, Dad, let's think. I don't know if that was there. But we do know them, three precious words. Okay, Dad, I'll do it. Dad, I'll do it. 17-year-old lad, taking a long journey. Maybe unsure about his journey. You know, certainly I'm going to go down there and check on him. I don't know if this is going to be good. You know, he said, I'm going to go ahead and do it. He got on the trail, got going and so forth, and we'll move forward a little bit, but I'm talking about commitment. He was committed. You're going to see how he was committed to his God, committed to the will of God, and committed to his dad's will, if you will. And he goes on, and verse number 15, let's pick up there, and a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in a field, and the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? He comes down to Shechem, looks around a little bit. Certainly, you know what? I mean, there's 11 of them in a big flock. Certainly, you know, that's not going to be hard to miss. And he gets looking around a little bit. And the man says, what are you looking for, son? And he says in verse number 16, he says, I seek my brethren, tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence. For I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. Note them, and Joseph went after his brethren. I'm thinking about that a little bit. His dad said, I want you to go to Shechem. Dad never said anything about Dothan. I want you to go to Shechem, Joseph. Your brothers are there. I want you to check on them. Come back and report to me. Here am I. Okay, Dad, I'll do it. Now, here he is. He's in Shechem. Did he obey his dad? Yeah. He obeyed his dad. I'm in Shechem. Looking around. I'm here. I don't see my brothers. The man said, well, they're in Dothan. Well, I'm here. I did what, teenager, good lesson here, by the way. Young people, good lesson here. Well, I did what Dad told me, so, I think I'm home free. I could just go back and say whatever I want. Dad, hey, how's the brethren, son? Oh, I went to Shechem, Dad. Typical young person's answer, by the way. Don't really, kind of dodge and say, I went to Shechem, Dad. Yeah, okay, you went to Shechem. How's your brothers? I went to Shechem, boy. It was a good trip and so forth. You can kind of see that, but the truth of the matter is he didn't go back. He was committed to the task of fulfilling the will of his father. He was obligated to it. The man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, verse number 17, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. He was obligated to it. Now, we know that story, and I'm not going to go further there, but you know what? Here's a young man, 17-year-old boy, that did not do his job half-heartedly. Oh, you know how we need a revival of young people to go ahead and have a little grit in whatever they are assigned to do. I get sick and tired of these lazy, and I'm picking on young people, and I know that, but the truth of the matter is, teenager, whatever it is, whether you get a job at McDonald's or wherever it may be, you give it all you got. Well, it's not the greatest, you don't know what it's like to flip burgers, it's just, it's not, praise the Lord for the job, and you give it all you got. Whatever it is. You got a lawn job and you got a, well, it's hot out there. Well, you go ahead and you work hard. You give it all you got. You know what? I wouldn't give a wooden nickel to some young person who starts whining and complaining about their job. Well, get out there and just kind of do a half-hearted. You give it all you got. Whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. You know what? I admire hard workers and I thank God. You know what? On the most hard, we got some hard working teenagers around here. I was last night, as we had a few teenagers here and so forth, and I didn't have to say much. Didn't have to say much. After everything was done, I immediately saw, I think, the three or four young people that were here. They just literally rolled up their sleeves and they made sure everything was ready for junior church this morning. I appreciate that. But we need some young people. We need even adults to say, I'm committed. I'm going to work hard. I'm not going to go ahead and do this thing half-hearted. I'm not going to live my Christian life half-heartedly. The half-hearted Christians are the ones that are the most unfulfilling. They're the ones that have really, they always live in crisis mode because they're not committed to anything. They won't, whenever a little bit of adversity comes in their class or in their Christian walk or whatever, whenever, they're the ones to bail. Hey, this just isn't fair. See ya. And it's no wonder why they live in crisis mode. No wonder why, the blessings don't flow and so forth. Some of the adversity that you get might be just because God's trying to maybe deal with some issues in your life, maybe sin or whatever. It might be that he's trying to teach you a lesson. It might be that he's wanting you to teach somebody else a lesson that's going to go through it. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, if you feel a little bit of adversity, don't you go ahead and jump out on God and bail out, on, if you will, on God. Don't you go ahead and do that. You be committed. You say, I don't know where this takes me. It's a very rough sea right now, but I'm going to keep on sailing. I'm going to keep on going. I think of the shipwreck in Paul there with the Euroclydon in the Mediterranean Sea. You know what? And after that ship was broken up, and Paul, you know, in Acts 26, I don't have time to go there, but Paul, you know, he gets up there. He takes literally command of that ship. You know, he basically tells the commander, you know, you should have listened to me, but you know what? I believe God. You know what? Basically, he was telling all the people, everything's going to be all right. And he says, at the end of that chapter, when the ship was breaking down and so forth, you know what? Some of you, you know what? You're going to say, this is rough seas. This is a tough time. But you know what? Grab yourself a board. You find some on broken boards. And by the way, no loss of life was on that ship. And they met, of course, on that island later on. But you know what? When the ship all literally broke apart, you know what? There were some that could have said, you know, I can't swim. I can't do this. It's just too hard. And they could have lost their life. But you know what? Some of them grabbed a board. Some of them went ahead and grabbed a board. Said, you know what? I'm in this rough sea, but I don't know. I'm going to stay afloat, bless God, somehow. I'm going to keep on going somehow. I'm not going to go ahead and die. I'm not going to let the devil go ahead and get the best of me. Hey, there's a broken board over there. There's a piece of broken chair over there. There's a piece of broken ship over there. I'm just going to grab that, and I'm going to go ahead and swim, and I'm going to get to land. I'm going to get to safety. I'm going to keep on going. I think of Jesus. Matthew 26:29, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." You know, Jesus was committed to the task that was before him. I believe at age 12 there in the temple, when he was forgotten about, I mentioned a little bit this morning, you know, I believe the heaven, when he was doing business, I must be about my Father's business, as he replied to his mother and Joseph when they came back to retrieve him, found him in the temple, and he was answering questions there and so forth. And he said to his mom, "I said, I must be about my Father's business." I believe at that time that his Heavenly Father was dealing mightily in his heart. I believe personally at that time, I may be wrong, but I think by all studying and different things and that I've checked in on, I believe it was at that time as a 12-year-old boy that Jesus, God revealed his will to his son Jesus. 33 years later, he was going to go ahead, at 33 years old, he was going to go ahead and die on a cross. And the Bible says, here he is in the garden, Matthew 26:39, he went a little farther, he fell on his face and he prayed. He says, "God, listen, if there's any God, Dad, Father, if there's any way that this cup could pass, you know, this is big. Let me tell you something. There'll be some big things that'll come your way too." You know what? And right here is an exact formula of what we should do. You keep going a little further and you get on your face before God and say, "God, I don't know. I can't handle this. Man, if there's any way, that this cancer could pass by, if there's any way this health problem could, if there's any way, God." But, of course, it's the cross for Jesus. Of course, it's the nails in his hands and the crown of thorns and all that he's going to face and the mockery and all that. If there's any way, Dad, but he says, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." He was committed. He was obligated to do his Father's will. Think of David, young David, another young man. Went into town, check on his brothers. Big old goon Goliath out there, you know, wanting to fight. Saul should have gone out. We know the story. Saul should have been the one, head and shoulders above the rest, should have gone ahead and fought, but he was too much of a coward to do that. Goliath and the world, if you will, was defying God and making fun of the living God and God Almighty, if you will. And David said, "Is there not a cause?" You know, he was committed to his God. He says, "You know what? There's not anybody going to go ahead and defy my God." He took a stand. I think of Paul in prison. You know, he said, "I press towards the mark." Yeah, in prison. Think about it. Not a prison like we are used to. Like maybe some of you, not me. No. But, you know, the prisons today, I mean, it's pretty comfortable. I visited there. Not stayed there, but I visited some of these places. Okay. Just clarify that a little bit. But, you know, in prison, a cold prison, a dungeon prison, dark, damp, little crawly creatures, no doubt. And here he is in prison saying, "I press towards the mark." You know what? He could have sat there like maybe some of us when we get in our prison. "This just isn't fair. This just isn't right. Well, you know what? I was on the Damascus Road, and I got saved, and You know, and then I went into town, and Ananias talked to me, and, you know, I got baptized, and, you know, I don't know why, but immediately, in Acts chapter 9, it says immediately he got preaching. Now look at where I am. Been shipwrecked. I've had this happen. I've been cast out. I've been stoned, been thrown stone. You know, now I'm in prison. You know what? You don't see that. It says, you know what? I see his commitment. He's obligated to his God. I'm going to press towards a mark. You know, he says, forgetting those things which are behind, in prison he's saying this. I'm reaching forth for those things which are before. I'm reaching forward. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but bless God, something good is about to happen, amen? I'm going to keep on pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm ordered bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, you plant my feet on higher ground. That's the kind of attitude Paul had. You know what? You get in the dungeon. You get in the prison of your life. You get the rough seas, as we talked about. You get a little bit of criticism. You get someone coming out, defying your God. Boy, we need to take a stand. We need to be committed to God, the very God that sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you. Why wouldn't we commit? Why wouldn't we be obligated to him? Paul is committed in prison. Of course, in 2 Timothy 4:7, you find him at the end of his life, teaching a young preacher boy, Timothy. Turn there for just a moment. I won't finish this message anyway, so we may as well just take it as far as it can go, amen? Let me just, I love this. I love this passage of scripture. I love this whole particular book of the Bible right here. I really, really enjoy. But 2 Timothy 4. Of course, this is a 2 Timothy, and Paul is instructing Timothy, and you see at the beginning of verse 4, you know, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, says 2 Timothy 4:1, Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead in his appearing in his kingdom, preach a word. He's saying, Timothy, preach a word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know, don't let up. You just keep on preaching. You know, some of your preaching is going to have a little reproof. So, but you got to balance that out with some exhortation and so forth, love on them. But, you know, you preach hard, you preach the truth, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sounds like this is where we are today, amen? Time's going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou, commanding a young Timothy, his son in the ministry, one that he loves so dearly. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, Timothy. Timothy, you know what? Because they're not going to adhere to sound doctrine, because they're going to have itching ears, they're not going to like what you're going to say, they're not going to like your style of preaching, they're not going to like all that, you're going to be afflicted. You're going to have some problems. You're going to have some trials. You're going to be mocked. You're going to have some struggles. Do the work of evangelists. Make full proof of thy ministry. And then he says, Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight and finished my course. I have kept the faith. What if, back a few books before, of the many times being shipwrecked twice, I think it was, cast out of cities, stoned, being mocked at, being ridiculed, imprisoned there in Philippians chapter 3? What if he said, say, in that prison, since that's what we were talking about earlier, this ain't worth it. I'm done. I'm done. What do you think the influence? He wouldn't have had the influence on a young Timothy that he had it. He said, I'm done. He wouldn't have been able to go ahead and write that to a young Timothy, if you will, had he said, when he first got into prison, I can't believe it. I have had enough. But you know what? You know why he can say, I have fought a good fight? You know why he can say, I kept the faith? You know why he can say, I have finished my course? Because he remained committed to the cause of Christ. He remained committed to the cause of Christ. And because of that, look at the influence on a young Timothy. Because of that, he was able to influence young people. Influence many, many, see many souls saved in his ministry. And because he didn't quit. Time of my departure is at hand. Won't be long before I see Jesus face to face. I am now ready to be offered. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. You know what we need tonight? We need some old-fashioned commitment to God, just like these illustrations and many more. We need just some folks that are just decide, I'm going to be committed to God. I'm going to remain committed. I'm going to take my ministry more seriously. I'm gonna keep on going for the cause of Christ. I'm gonna make my ministry better than it ever has. 2010, it's still early in the year. Maybe we've been a little cold, and not because of weather, but just kind of. But you know what we need, church? And I think it's fit and appropriate, this message, for the Sunday night crowd, because these are the people that, you know, if you come back on a Sunday night, man, you're a strong Christian. It shows your strength. It shows your desire to serve. But you know what we need, church? You know what we need, deacons? You know what we need, bus workers? You know what we need, junior church workers? Teen workers? You know what we need? We need us all tonight to have an old-fashioned commitment to Almighty God. A commitment like a Joseph. I'm in Shechem, Dad. I went. No, he finished the course. I'm going to keep on keeping on. A commitment like a Paul. A commitment like a David. A commitment like a Moses, like many, many others. And if you read their stories in the Bible, you'll say they got discouraged. They did. We all will. Human nature. You see they got disappointed. You'll read that they were frustrated. You read many about these great men and women of God that they were just, ooh. Guess what? They kept on keeping on. Many of them, Hebrews 11, you find in the Faith Hall of Fame. Boy, you know what? And many of them, by the way, many of them were not super duper Christians in the Faith Hall of Fame, but they did something big for God. You know, we need something, you know, do something big for God. You know, and you can't do anything big for God if you don't go ahead and commit. You want to be, here's, you know, you got a line here, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. God ain't going to use you. Get on, get off. Don't be hot or cold. Be hot. I'd rather see you be hot and on fire. But you know what? Get on, get off. It's either on or off, up or down, whatever the case may be. But why don't you tonight just decide, you know what? I'm going to commit. I'm going to remain committed. Commit thy works unto the Lord. I think I'll finish this next Sunday night, but commit thy works unto the Lord. Everything that you do, your job, your marriage, your ministry, your finances, everything, you ought to just go ahead and trust them to the Lord. And when you go ahead and you find yourself in the will of God in all these areas, you know what? God will help you in your decision making. Your thought processes will be right. But how often well, you know, I don't think God doesn't quite understand what's going on in my marriage. Yes, he does. He just doesn't understand the bills that I, you know, our God has a checkbook full of blessings. We just need to ask him. You know, we just need to obey him, and we just need to ask him. He'll take care of you. He just doesn't understand my health. God, listen to me. With God, nothing's impossible. We just got to trust him tonight. Trust him. Our Heavenly Father, sure do love you, and God, I just scratched the surface a little bit. I didn't think it would go this long, Lord, but God, I pray that maybe it helped someone tonight. It helped me. Help me kind of press that reset button. Lord, I pray, God, that we'll be committed. We'll be committed to your will, committed to your work, committed to your house, committed to the ministry. God, whatever it is, I pray, God, that we'll just find ourselves in your will and doing the will of God. Father, maybe there's here, some here tonight. I'm thinking most all of us here tonight are saved. We know for sure we're on our way to heaven. But Maybe we're a little on shaky ground tonight. I feel a little shaky. Just feel like we've lost hope. We've lost faith. We've lost that sense of obligation and desire. God, I pray that we'd set a fire. You would set a fire in our heart tonight. Or if there's just a little coal there that's just about ready to go out, I pray, God, that you would fan that flame and start a fire tonight. I believe we get all on the same page and get committed to you and just be committed to the ministry, to all that you want us to do, boy, I believe we see greater days ahead of us here at Faith Baptist Church. God, you have been so good. It's been so awesome to see what you've done here these last couple years. It's been exciting. We get to be a part of this. We don't have to, we get to. I pray, dear God, if some of us grown a little cold, that we get heated up tonight, that we get committed and get on fire. Ask all these things in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed. Thank you. That was good. I love to hear them sing. Amen, amen, amen. All right, teenagers, would you come up and help me sing? All right, moving right along. All right. Okay, well, good. Had a good day today. I just want to remind you, and to bring it up earlier, Donna Neville, that was a cousin of Penny's. She, of course, passed away a week or so ago, and we're having a little memorial service here Wednesday morning at 10:30, and I'll be here and so forth. But be praying for the family. It's always tough to lose a loved one, as we all know, but that's Wednesday morning at 10:30. So, all right, and just want to remind you, all the young children, if you want a piece of candy in my office right after the service, come to my office and we'll get you a piece of candy, okay? Satisfy that sweet tooth. All right, I guess you've heard enough of me, so I guess Brother Robles' turn. Come on up, and let's go ahead and preach to him, Brother Robles. No, it's all right. We can laugh. Boy, loosen up a little bit. It's okay. It's all right, you know? I guess my joke's old and dry, but all right. Closing prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this message this evening. Lord, we just ask that, Lord, we look at every area of our lives and ask you to strengthen our level of commitment. Lord, help us to be committed to you in everything we do, above all and first of all. And Lord, and to acknowledge you in all our ways, and you will direct our path. We pray, Lord Jesus, now that you help us as we leave here from one another, Lord, but not from your presence. We just pray you go with us where we go. Give us safety as we travel. Thank you for this great message, Lord. May we ponder, may we remember, may we put it to practice this week. In Jesus' name, amen.